You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Just a disclaimer for today's review. If you're triggered by bad memory jokes, then please go ahead and turn off the review because we're going full tilt. Little Fish, directed by Chad Hartigan and starring Olivia Cooke from Thoroughbreds and Ready Player One, and Jack O'Connell from Unbroken. We just discussed that. Star as a couple living through a pandemic ravaging the world. The virus, though, is not your ordinary virus. No, the illness affects your memory. One who contracts the virus will either lose their memory immediately or gradually over time. This is a very intimate and realistic look at a relationship dealing with the idea of the relationship fading away, and there may be nothing to do about it. Before I forget...
Uh-oh. Yeah. They're starting.
There you go. I'd like to introduce a few good gentlemen, a few good men that are with me today. We have Adrian.
Hey there.
We have Bradley.
Is that me? I don't know who you're looking at calling that name, man. I've decided my name is Dallas.
And, of course, Robert.
Am I Bradley?
Oh, God. This is not going to end. And I'm right.
We used to do the same thing whenever we had a substitute teacher.
Allegedly.
Well, allegedly. So, Little Fish, I remember looking at the trailer for this, and I thought it was going to be a little bit more of like this kind of realistic, like sci-fi movie. And the only science fiction part about it is that it's based in, I guess, 2021. And there is a pandemic, which is extremely topical, but the virus itself is, yes, affecting your memory and you're slowly losing it. Or in some cases, as we see, you can lose it immediately. And it stars Olivia Cooke as this veterinarian who just meets this new guy. They form a relationship. And in the middle of the relationship, the virus is starting to kind of take over the world. And it just hits people piece by piece. And it's really interesting how it starts to dive into some of the relationships of friends that they have that are affected by it and what they're going through and that they're afraid as well. And you start to get hints that they're starting to be affected by it. Mainly Jack O'Connell's character, who later becomes her husband or whatever. But it's really interesting to see how they deal with it and what they do. And basically... in a very realistic way, like how they're going to deal with the aftermath of this. Like, is there a cure? Is there not? What are we going to do? But what did you guys think? Adrian, I heard that you absolutely loved it. So please gush away. We're going to give you the floor. How about another like 15 minutes?
This is easily one of the best films of this year so far. And I know we're only in January, but I don't know. I just really love movies that take themselves seriously and are adult, yet at the same time, they're like young adult films for babies that I guess that's like the only way to understand. Like Alzheimer's is scary already. We had a really good Alzheimer's movie last year. Well, I guess that's more dementia, called Relic, where it's like it used the fear of the disease to also work with like the horror of what's going on. And I'm not saying this movie has to do exactly that, but I just like, what the fuck do you want to be? Like, is this going to be the for the audience who likes like Fault in Our Stars, or is this going to be for the audience who likes something a little more mature and realistically tragic? Like I kept flip-flopping with this movie of liking it, kind of digging what they're doing, but then it would have stuff like, there's a scene where like everyone's panicking, and I'm sorry, but I thought that was so silly, because now it's treating the epidemic like it's like a monster almost, or it's like some kind of like zombie disease that's gonna that's gonna turn you into a monster. And like, I just feel like this movie, I had just seen a movie called Our Friend, which is a movie that I would say I'm not the audience for, but then it made me think, oh shit, I really like this. And then I watched Little Fish immediately after. It's like, this is why I'm not the audience for this movie, because I think too deeply into it. I nitpick. I think it has some good concepts, but it's like, I don't know, grow up, I guess. I guess is what I want to tell the movie.
I'll just say it out. I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. I loved the relationship and how it really just focused on that. Because, yeah, it goes into how it's affecting the rest of the world and a couple of, like, friends, but it really just focuses on the couple for the most part. And I love the way that they took their time with it. I mean, it's still like kind of a short movie. What's like 90 or so minutes? Like, it's not that long at all. And Bradley, what did you think about Little Fish?
I think that it's fine. I think the idea of memory is fascinating in itself. And there are a lot of conversations you could have about the idea of memory. Like, have you ever been in a boat? What was the first boat that you've been in? And of course, the answer from all three of you is more than likely, yes, I've been in a boat. Oh my gosh, why don't I remember the first time I've been in a boat? But this particular type of drama only works if everyone has perfect memory anyways. So that was kind of, like you said with the writing, a little silly. Oh my gosh, am I going to forget who I am? I better beat the shit out of every stranger I see.
Yeah.
Like, that's a little...
But you think they're assaulting you and they're in your house.
You know, I will break in here to say that the little anger outside the clinic panic thing was the most realistic part of the movie for me.
I 100% agree.
Seeing that the biggest vaccination site in the United States got shut down by protesters a couple days, that part didn't really bother me. I'll tell you what I really liked about it. As a fan of romances set in genre, but one of the main characters isn't the doctor, there's like four or five good ones. In every other iteration of this, she's the scientist looking for a cure, or that's her dad, or whatever. I like that it was just kind of in the background. This was in the can in February, I believe. So it's totally pre-pandemic, but they're not going to get away from any kind of comparisons to whatever. But what I really liked was some of the slower stuff. So I'm a big fan of the score. I'll mention that. But I like the camera angles. I thought the title screens, the title screen where we move to where we finally get Little Fish on the screen, is very good. Mm-hmm. It's obnoxious to say it seemed very European, but we don't do cool stuff like that with titles here. So that, but there's a really great shot. This is my favorite shot of the year. I think I've seen about 15 films so far this year and did some at Sundance. And still my favorite shot of this year is... Olivia Cooke's character is talking by the water. They're talking about her mom, and we're getting a slow zoom at her as she starts pacing in and out of the shot. And in the back of the shot, there's search helicopters over the water. And it's different in that dramas don't usually do stuff like that. But that's another thing I like with films that are doing this lightly padding the background with either horror or sci-fi, is that we're getting shots in a romance story that we wouldn't normally get. And like you talked about taking it seriously, Adrian, I really like that. And I really like that about Relic too. Like you were saying, my favorite and most horrific part of Relic was it is about the disease, but the horrible stuff to watch is the characters' realizations of it. And this one, I thought they did a good job when we start seeing the husband character come in and out. I think that if that had been handled a little less well than it had been done, it would have killed it for me. Because as soon as you get him going, what, huh? It's over with. So I was able to stay serious with it. I totally get what you're saying. But I know that a lot of me loving this is that there's not a lot of romance. And I guess we can call this a romance film, a love story or whatever, that are set in something like this that don't go all the way. You know, and that just turns into a disaster movie to me with a bad storyline.
I really wish I could have seen this with someone else, because I really did think, like, well, maybe I'm just jaded and just like, and I don't find this that cute. But I'll give the movie this. It has a really big positive for me, and that's I love seeing representation in films. I love seeing Latino representation in films. They have Raul Castillo in this, playing Ben, one of their best friends, who also is getting the disease. And I think he does a really great job in this. This guy played El Chicano, who is Mexico's like first superhero, kind of, in a way, or LA's first superhero. So it's kind of cool to see him go from like a Joe Carnahan-ridden action movie to a really to like a subdued indie romance. I think his performance in this is fantastic, to the point where like I wanted to see more of him and his wife, as opposed to Olivia Cooke and Jack O'Connell, because I enjoyed a relationship, but it's not something that I haven't seen. And I'm not saying that every movie needs to do something completely new, but for a concept like this, I'll say it again. Like, I just feel like it's not as adult as it thinks it is. I think it's kind of flawed by being a little too accessible, I would say. And that might make me sound pretentious, and hey, fuck it, if that's the case. I don't like the whole genre of like two people fall in love, let's kill one of them. I think this accidentally fell into some tropes of that.
I personally enjoyed the chemistry between the two of them. I think like that their relationship really carried all the way through, because I felt like they were actually in love. And you know, I'm a sucker every now and then for a good like actual romance, and to have something like this where the backdrop is this world that's like, by the way, like everyone is screwed. And there's no way to go around this, which is, to me, I was like thinking about, and Robert and I talked about this actually last week, where we were asking the question, like, is it better to get a virus? And now this might be way too, I guess, timely, but is it better to almost get COVID, or is it almost better to get this disease? Because you're just theoretically lose all your memories altogether and forget even who you are. It's like, so is it almost like better to die or to lose all memory?
Ignorance is bliss, so I don't see why that would be too bad. This plays on, this is such a film for like 20-year-olds. If you forget things, then you don't know who you are. And if you don't know who you are, that means you're getting old, and old people are horrible. That's what I feel like. The message of this was one of my favorite.
Bradley, didn't you know that old people are horrible? Yeah. That's
did you have a birthday recently?
I have them all the time. They're every year, and I get more and more gray
every year.
There's a trope in this where his name's Jude, by the way, because of course his name's Jude, and of course he's a photographer, and of course this movie takes place in present day, but he has a camera from like 1981, and of course he has a cassette player in his kids.
Hey guys, I'd fuck him, okay? That's a pretty cool guy.
Also, it's set in Seattle, so it to be any less hipsterish, it still could have been at least set in Austin.
Okay. And they actually get the little paratrooper toys to work when they toss them off the balcony. So it does have a trope that I absolutely hate in all films. So Jude and Emma, they meet and they are starstruck with each other. And they do look, the chemistry, it's hot, it is spicy, and I did like it. It doesn't even have to be convincing. If there was a headline tomorrow, oh, did you know Olivia Cooke married Jack O'Connell? I'd be like, hell yeah, they got married. Did you see Little Fish? But she's like, oh, but I can't because I'm seeing Tom. And I don't like Tom, but I'm seeing him, and I want to be a committed person. It's like, oh, come on, really? Everyone's going to lose their memories in the next act. Why does there have to be a Tom? I feel like they never have a scene where they tell Tom that she's blown him off for Jude. I bet you he found out at their wedding.
Let's jump into final thoughts then. I think we have a fairly good idea of what we... It looks like kind of a 50-50 split right now. So how about this? Adrian, what are your final thoughts of Little Fish, if you can remember?
Big points for representation. I always love seeing Latino actors in things like this. Raul Castillo, Jael Garcia Bernal, and a TV actor, Ricky Orozco. I look forward to seeing them and shit. I look forward to seeing Jack O'Connell and Olivia Cooke. That's why I jumped onto this movie. Much like a lot of other movies, I will just look at the cast, be like, I like this cast. Who knows what this is about, but we'll find out when we find out. And as I was finding out, I thought, okay, I can dig this. And then it just kept giving me reasons to not dig it. To the point where it's like, I was gonna give it a break. I was thinking like, I guess this is cute and it's sweet, and the reason that the movie is even called Little Fish, when they get into that, it's like, oh, fine, sure, it's cute. But then they go into this, like, this unnecessary act of tension near the end of it that makes me think of, like, I literally don't know what type of movie this is going to... It feels such like a young adult novel. And yet it's telling me that it doesn't want to be seen as a young adult novel or a young adult movie. This is no different from any of the other stuff that comes out like that. It just happens to have a great cast. I think it needs stronger writing. I think it needs stronger storytelling. If you think this is going to be cute and you want romance and you want ideas of romance being like, well, this guy's a musician because he wants to speak to the world, and it's like, fuck off. I don't know. I give this a two jaded film takes out of five.
Hey, no wait. Forget about it. Okay, Robert, what is your final thoughts on Little Fish?
One of the biggest parts for me, aside from the aesthetic, like I said, I really liked the way it was shot, was Keegan DeWitt's score. He's done tons of TV. He's done all of, excuse me, Chet Hardigan's other films he's scored. He's really good at building background atmosphere, but there's two or three really big melodic passages in this film that use stuff that ambient guitar players are doing with like guitar pedals and stuff and some really out of the box instrumentation. But he hit like this nostalgic kind of emotional stuff that took something different and still struck old type chords with it. And to me, I think that's how you get a sense of timelessness. I'm not calling the film Casablanca, but I'm talking about there's a tenor that you can hit, especially in romances where music can really elevate it. And I think that was great. I really dug the story. I liked the ending, like you talked about with Raul Castillo and Stephanie Soskolinsky. I really liked the side story. If there was an Austin bass player in a film that you needed to find, I'd point you to this one because, man, did they bang that on. So I'm going to give it a 7.5 out of 10, I can't remember what's.
You stole my joke. Bradley, what are your final thoughts?
Like I said, it's fine. I liked watching this with my wife and my mother-in-law. The chemistry is very good. It's very convincing. And they're both super talented. I'm excited to see what Olivia Cooke does next. I mean, anyone who's not angry about all the controversy of Ready Player One, check that out. She's great in that. Jack O'Connell, I think this is the first movie I really watched him, and he's a fantastic, phenomenal, charming, and just an endearing character. Like, I was making fun of his hipster stuff, but you're right, he pulls it off incredibly well. I really like high concept sci-fi. I don't think this has much of anything at all to say about memory. Like, a character forgot that he knew how to play guitar and was sad that he couldn't play guitar anymore. Where's this sadness coming from if he forgot he knew how to play? Like, how does that work? At the end of the day, as I always say, I kind of feel like someone wrote an Alzheimer movie and the market's flooded with those. The market. So I think someone was like, wait a second. Hold on a minute. What if it was sexy? What if we don't cast Kevin Costner and Diane Lane for the next Alzheimer movie? What if you get Alzheimer's at 20 now? That's pretty hot. And also none of the cognitive dissonance or, you know, wetting yourself or just standing in a hallway, not sure how you got there or even if you're anyone at all. That's scary. Just sexy memory loss, the movie. And I feel like that's what we get. Oh, and little fish. Goldfish only have 30-second memories, but they're still chill and very creative. But I wasn't bored. It was easy to finish. And yeah, it was a pretty heartwarming. I love the monologuing they do. I love the sex appeal they have for each other, even though it's a little tropey. So I'll give it 6 out of 10 goldfish.
I did enjoy this a lot. I guess I was oddly captivated. And maybe I'm the dumb audience member that just wants to really like, yeah, I want to watch a good like romantic film, because I don't really watch those too often. I watch something stupid or some horror movie that just something horrific happens. And, you know, not something where like a couple has really good chemistry and then the only bad thing that's happening is like, and we can't remember each other. Like, I don't get to watch that too often. So this is actually kind of nice. But I really did love the two actors, and I thought the direction and the cinematography was really good. I haven't seen any of other Chad Hartigan's movies, but I wonder if they look the same or if they have that kind of style. So I'm really interested to see what he does next as well. And I don't know. I kind of have a thing for like realistic sci-fi, just again, like a high concept of sci-fi, like we were talking about this last week, Robert, where it reminded me of like Children of Men, where it's set in the real world, but they're just like this really high concept idea that's devastating the entire world. And what do regular people do? And it's not, I mean, granted, Children of Men is a far superior movie, but this is not like action packed at all. It's just a couple dealing with the idea that they could not remember each other tomorrow, which I thought was, it hit my heartstrings because I'm in a relationship and I think about, well, shit, what would actually happen? And so it got to me. But I will give this now, since you stole my damn joke, Robert. So fuck, what was I going to say? I don't remember. I'm going to give this 7 out of 10 heartstrings. Da-da.
Da-da-da-da-da. Here's a fun memory one, gentlemen. Did you know that all four of us know what an Ewok is, but the word Ewok is never said in Return of the Jedi? Crazy memory.
What the fuck?
You crazy, tricky memory, you. Yeah.
That's not true.
That's totally true.
Damn. All right, y'all ready to record this?